I just have something very short to share that I hope be an exhortation or at least an encouragement to you. The Lord's been speaking to me a lot these past few weeks about faith, believing God. And there are many people, there is a phrase that Jesus says often. And he says it only to certain kind of people. And that phrase is, your faith has saved you, or your faith has healed you. And I've been, for a long time I was praying, what's this mustard seed faith? What's this whole faith in terms that I can understand and put into practice? And I'm going to start speaking on that today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word that is true and alive, living and effective, that changes us. Lord, these things were written not so we can read them in a book and remain there. Lord, they were written so they become our experience. They were written for us upon whom the end of the ages have come. Lord, I pray that as we read it, as we come to it, O Lord, speak to us. Lord, anoint me, anoint us, anoint your word, Lord. May the blood of Jesus take away all barriers of sin between me and you, between us and you. Lord, may our ears be open, Lord, and our eyes be open, Lord, that we may hear and see what you're showing us and what you're saying to us, O Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Go to Luke. The 18th chapter. We'll read from we'll read two passages. First from verse 35. I'll just read it for everybody. As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard the crowds going by, he asked what was happening. They told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. He called out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. When he came near, Jesus asked him, What do you want me to do for you? Lord, I want to see, he replied. Jesus said to him, Receive your sight. Your faith has healed you. Immediately he received the sight and followed Jesus, praising God. When all the people saw it, they also praise God. This man was blind. He had a problem. No doctors could make him see. Nobody could help him. His parents could not help him. And he was reduced to being a beggar. And there was no, he had no plan. There was no way for him to get out of blindness. No amount of money would have helped him. He needed a miracle. And there are things in your life that no man can help you with. Only Jesus can. There's maybe a situation in your life, in your family, that nobody can help you out with. Only Jesus can. As I said on Friday, there are questions that you have that only Jesus can give you the answer to. You can call all the people you know. You can call the most spiritual men on earth. the most godly men of God, they will not have an answer for you. There are things for which you need a miracle that only Jesus can help. Now, Jesus may use other people to meet your need. But really, you need a miracle from Jesus and Jesus alone. And that's where this man was. And he was reduced to being a beggar. And that's what happens when you're in a state where you have a problem that only Jesus can meet. But then you try to find solution elsewhere. You'll be reduced to a beggar. You'll be going around. Like we said, you have a problem, you call this other person. You begin to talk to them so you can get some comfort instead of turning to Jesus. And then you'll become a person who begs for the attention of men, a person who begs for help from human beings. You become dependent on people. And that's what many Christians' Christian life is. They have a need that only God can meet. But then they don't turn to God, they only go to men, and they become dependent on people. They need counseling this week, and they need counseling next week. Now, counseling is good, and you should get it. And every person should have people in my life who knows how my spiritual life is going. They know what's happening. If you hide in a shell and you are never accountable to anyone and you don't tell anybody anything, you eventually die spiritually. No man lives for himself, no man dies for himself, the Bible says. I was thinking about it the other day. I mean, last night rather. God made the universe such that things depend on something. At a big level, the earth is dependent on circling around the sun. Was it to say, oh, I'm going to be my own planet and my own man. Let me get out of orbit and wanders off. We'll all die. That's why, quote unquote, shooting stars are no good things. Because they depend on nothing. And if you go even in the tiniest level, at the atomic level, every electron depends on some sort of nucleus that it goes around. If they were just to go off at random from your body, you'd be in trouble. But in any case, back to this. There are such problems that are such that you need a miracle from God and nobody can help. And this man was told, heard a crowd going by, and he asked what was happening. They told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And this man's heart leapt. He knew that he had a window of opportunity. He knew that Jesus was passing by. He wasn't going to stay there. Jesus had a goal. He had a plan. He had an agenda for that day. He was heading over to Jerusalem, actually. And when this man heard that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by, he knew that this was his chance to get Jesus' attention. He knew this was his chance to get his miracle. He remembered all the years of begging and of being blind. And so this man begins to shout, Jesus, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He started calling out. Now, this is a pretty bold thing to do. Jesus and this huge crowd of people, everybody having their own needs. Some are following him because he multiplied bread for them, and others are following him because they really care about him. Others are following just to see what cool things are going to happen. And there's this huge mob of people around Jesus, and he's going. And then this man begin to shout louder than the crowd, louder than everybody else, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And this is what every person who has a need should do. Stop begging. For that moment, that man was not begging anymore. He started crying out to Jesus. Start turning to Jesus and begin to cry out to him. Now, Jesus heard this man the first time he shouted. It is clear from the passage. But Jesus didn't stop and call the man the first time that the man shouted. Jesus kept walking as if he didn't hear him. The man shouted a second time, "Jesus, Son of David," and Jesus was walking and the crowd was moving. But the man kept shouting, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me," and Jesus kept walking and the crowd kept going. And this is what will happen when you first begin to pray. God will act as if He's not listening to you. You won't get an answer immediately, not necessarily. Is there something about which you prayed and you say, "Well, I prayed about it for 2 days. I didn't even feel like God was listening to me, so I gave up." If this man had done that, he'd have been in trouble. He shouted. Now, there comes a day. There comes a time, and those times have come to all of us. I know it's come to me many times. Times when God pulls me and brings me to pray. Times when God tells me, "Now seek me, now pray, now lay hold of me." And many of those times I started praying, and then after some time I was like, "Oh, whatever." And I slipped back and I stopped. Those are those windows of opportunities that God gives us when He calls us in that way. You should obey them. When you feel that urge to go and begin to seek God, go. Put aside everything else that's hindering you from doing it. Turn off the computer, turn off the cell phone, turn off the TV. If you need to, if you have to. Begin to seek the Lord. And when you begin, at the beginning, yeah, it'll be like Jesus is not listening to you. But if you persevere, something will begin to happen. Now, the first thing that began to happen is that those who led the way rebuked him, told him to be quiet. You bother some people. People find you a nuisance when you begin to seek the Lord. They'll say, "Why are you always talking about Jesus and crying out to Him and praying all the time?" People find you strange, weird. Was this man always talking? You begin to speak the language of somebody who's crying out to God. It will show off in your action. It will show off in your behavior, in your words. And you might annoy some people. They may start telling you like that man told you, "Why are you bothering me?" They'll tell you that you're talking a little too much about God and you're getting into this thing a little too far. Now, but the Bible says he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." He did not care. They didn't know what it was like to be blind. He knew. And he knew that was his only hope. Now, it was very humbly. He did not it's very humiliating to stand on the street, be shouting, "Jesus, have mercy on me," while the person you're talking to is walking away. It's like he's not even listening. And everybody is telling you, "You're disturbing, keep quiet." It's very humbling. And that process of going and seeking God will always be humbling to your flesh. It will kill your carnal pride, and that's a good thing. Now, because the man persevered, because he kept calling, when it was clear to Jesus that this man was not going to stop, he was going to shout and cry out loud until Jesus got out of his voice range. At that point, Jesus stopped. Now, you see, it says Jesus stopped. So it's not like he interrupted what he was doing. He was on his way to Jerusalem. He interrupted the whole thing. The whole crowd stops. Everybody else, Jesus put aside everything else. All these people who were there and they thought they were more important than this beggar stood there stunned. Jesus stopped the whole procession. And everybody quiets down. And Jesus said, "Bring them in." When he came near, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord, I want to see," he replied. That tells you prayer has to be specific. But he said, "Lord, I want to see." Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has healed you." He immediately received the sight. Your faith has healed you. Now, obviously, it is Jesus that healed him. But why is Jesus saying that his faith healed him? What was his faith? His faith was that determination. "I will not stop crying out. So long as I have breath and so long as he can hear me, I will cry out and I will pray." It was that determination, regardless of who tells me I'm being too loud, regardless of what any man thinks, so long as I have the need, and so long as God is there, so long as God can hear me, I am going to cry out and I'm going to seek him and I'm going to pray. That determination got him to the point where Jesus could heal him. If he had not persevered to that point, if he had stopped when people told him, "You're being quiet, you're being too loud, keep quiet." If he had stopped, Jesus would have continued on his way and he would not have been healed. In that sense, his perseverance healed him. In that sense, that determination to continue praying until the answer came saved him. It healed him. In other words, by Jesus saying, "Your faith has healed you," he's saying, "You believed and persevered until the answer came, until you got your healing. And that perseverance of yours has earned you your healing." I wonder how many people shouted at Jesus during his ministry and did not persevere long enough until Jesus answered them. I wonder how many people miss their healing because they give up. We're in an age today of instant, where everything is instant. We have instant messaging, instant coffee, and instant this and that. And people also like to have instant prayer. They want instant spirituality. No, in the things of God, you're going to learn to wait and pray until you move the throne of God. If this man had been in today's Christianity that says, oh yes, send us your tithes and offering. That's why those things are dangerous. No, you should give your tithes and offering. That's not dangerous. What I'm saying is dangerous is when people say, go on TV and they say, just send my ministry $500 and you're going to get your miracle. They're telling you it's instant. We've found a formula for you to make Christianity instant. Just send us your money. And then we will spare. Essentially, they're telling you, we'll spare you having to pray. We'll spare you having to seek God. We'll spare you having to draw near to God. Just send us your thing. It's robbing people. And when you go down that path, it's robbing you of this experience of seeking God until the answer. Now, I can tell you this. There's nothing sweeter that I know in the Christian life than when God steps in and answers to your prayer. When you asked and you know that God heard. Now, that's not selfish. Jesus said, ask and receive that your joy may be complete. Maybe some people lack joy because they haven't asked and received. So they're frustrated. And the reason they haven't asked and received, it's partly because they did not persevere. They did not have the faith that heals. And that's the faith that says, I will not stop. I will put aside all the barriers that need to be put aside. I'll persevere. Now, there is this passage in the same chapter, Luke 18, from verse 1. I'm also going to read it for you real quick. Then Jesus told his disciple a parable to show them that they should what?
Always pray and not give up.
That they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. That's same chapter 18, verse 2. Verse 3. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with a plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice, so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge said, and will God not bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you the truth. He will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Jesus said that God will give justice to his chosen one who cry out to him when? Day and night. That is, they persevere. His people who persevere, they bother God until God moves. They don't want to just find shortcuts and find solutions from men that don't last. They'll seek God and pray until He answers. Said, I will see that they get justice and get it quickly. God will not keep you waiting longer than you can. But He will test you to find out whether you're serious and you should persevere. Now, Jesus asked an important question that always strikes me when I hear it. I read it. However, when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on the earth? Again, Jesus is saying that faith, according to this story, was this woman persevering and bothering this judge. When Jesus comes, how many Christians will He find who pray and who seek God until He answers them? Will He find us in this state, in this attitude of, I pray yesterday and nothing happened? Will he find you with faith? Will he find you a praying Christian? Now, what do you do with this? The first step, of course, is simple. If you've never set a time when you pray, when you withdraw and seek the Lord, whether that be 15 minutes or half an hour or 2 hours, 3 hours or more, according to your own need and your own relationship with God, set up a time. Settle it. At this time, that's the time when I turn off everything and I go pray, where I pour out my heart before God and I get to seek Him. And what will happen to you when you do that is not just that God will give you the things that you're asking for. By that time that you spend alone with Him, you'll get to know Him better. And you might actually find that as you get to know Him better, that the thing that you're asking actually wasn't good for you. But in either way, you're the one who benefits from that time. Either by God giving you what you're asking for, or by your getting to know God better enough, or you're realizing that that thing is not good for you. May God find you a praying person. May Jesus find you a praying person when He comes. Start today. If you haven't yet spent time today seeking God's praying, go ahead. Don't give up if you go and you pray and you feel nothing. That's just Jesus acting like He acted with the blind man. He kept walking for some time. Keep praying and the Lord at some point will stop everything and He will give you what you ask. One last thing to say. The blind man got healed and then what did he do? What does your Bible say? What did the Bible say happened to the blind man when he got healed?
He followed Jesus.
Praise God. He praised God. And then he followed Jesus.
Yes.
The miracles and the answers to God to prayer should lead you to follow Jesus. Should lead you to praise the Lord. It should lead you to make God more the center of your life. And that's one thing that persistent prayer does, is that it will shift your focus, your mind frame from being centered on yourself to being centered on God. That's another way that you should test anything that you get into. Again, there is a lot of this prosperity stuff, gospel things. Ask yourself the question, when someone gives you a book, when you hear a message, when you hear a sermon, when you hear a speaker, don't say, "Ah, he was such a good speaker. He spoke so well." Hey, everybody gets that. Even I get that too. They don't say, no, judge the thing by after you've heard it, after you've practiced it, did it bring you closer to Jesus? Does it make you want to follow God? Now, Jesus didn't ask that man, "Follow me." But the man didn't get his sight back and say, "Ah, let me now I can see. Let me go make money. Ah, now I can see. Let me go use it on my selfish desires." No, he followed Jesus. Well, probably he was one of those 120 people in the upper room on whom the Spirit, Holy Spirit came down. I suppose. And not only that, the Bible also says something else. When the people saw it, they praised God also. Now, these were, by the way, the same people who told him, "Keep quiet, you're being too loud." The people also praised God. If you're following God the right way, if you're practicing your Christianity correctly, it should get other people to also follow Jesus. And not be centered on you. People didn't say, oh, what a great man. He got Jesus too. See, they didn't sit there marveling at the blind man. They stood there marveling at Jesus. This is opposite what the world teaches us. The world teaches us do something to get the celebrity focused on you. Do something so people look at you and say, oh, what a great accomplishment. And again, that's another way that you should test all Christian material that gets your way. When you go to church, when you go to a quote-unquote Christian meeting, when you read something that's supposed to be a Christian book, ask yourself at the end, does it make me more focused on myself, my own need, my selfishness? Or does it make me follow Jesus more? And does it make the people around me follow Jesus more? Or does it make them more materialistic and more in love with this world? It's something to keep in mind. But if you get it right at the beginning, if you're seeking God and praying, and you're sincere, the Lord will guide you and will keep you from some of those wrongful paths. Okay. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Ask the Lord, tell Him, God, give me a prayer life. Say, Lord, make me a person who prays until I get an answer from You. Let's pray. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that I'll respond to the call. That I'll respond to the call, O Lord. That You respond. That I'll respond to the call, O Lord, that You've put on my heart to come and seek You and pray like I never have before. Father, I pray, O Lord, that I will do it, O God. That I will have this faith that perseveres till an answer comes. And do it for all of us here, O Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.